Welcome aboard, you people, again. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Hello.
WGN everywhere and all the rest of the associated platforms. Hello, Anna DeVlantis.
Hello. Kicking off 100th season of the NFL with the Bears-Packers game. I can barely contain myself.
Are you enjoying my jersey? That's all I want to know.
I came in, and you know what? You're not one to wear jerseys. I was a little surprised to see it. But the Khalil Mack, I mean, who doesn't want a good Khalil Mack jersey?
My friend Mikey, who I go to the games with.
Yeah.
Tommy and Timmy's brother Mikey.
Mm-hmm. I know him, I think. Maybe that's a different Tommy, Timmy, and Mikey.
And Kevin.
Quite a common
There's another
combo.
One, though. Kevin is another name, a pretty common name, despite the fact that Kevin refuses to acknowledge that.
Is there a Mary Pat in the family? That's my only question.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Mikey, mm-hmm. Mikey and I have been wearing these jerseys for the last, he's got the blue, I got the white, and we, you know, this is what we do.
This so you do wear them to the game since Khalil Mack was acquired?
Yes. And we haven't lost yet in the game, so I got a whole
thing. Then you got it. Then I understand it now. Right. And I like the sweatshirt underneath just in case it goes below, dips below 74.
I know, Mike. Exactly. It's a little nipply outside.
Yeah. Smells like football out there.
You can't say that when you're at a Bears game. I'm sorry. Does anybody have a chill here?
Can you put a blanket? A warming blanket, please? I mean, guys are out there bare-chested when it's negative below zero, and you've got your sweatshirt on in 74. I don't know what's going on. I'm just doing it
just in case. It said it might be a little rain. That's all. I want some protection for my hair.
Did you bring your mittens? That's the most important thing.
Hand warmers. I actually go to the game like Virginia McCaskey. I sit there and I have a blanket over me and a
fur
she's
coat.
In her 90s.
Yes. Yes, I know. Well, that's why. I also wear her glasses because I think, a lot of people want to wear the Papa Bear hat. I wear the Virginia McCaskey
she's
glasses.
She's beautiful. Why not? Why not?
Exactly.
Well, you'll be nice and warm. Well, at least you won't be complaining.
What do you want me to do? I'm
sure he'll find a way, Anna.
I know, right?
I think the allergen quotient is kind of high in the stadium here. I mean, like, what? It's like, oh my gosh, it's a beautiful night, isn't it? It's just beautiful.
It's so high. I've got a vertigo. I've got to sit down.
Anybody else sniffly? I'm a little sniffly.
You don't have a cold, do you? The total stranger I'm sitting next to in the seats, that'd be the first thing that I ask. I'm sorry, you don't have a cold.
I brought these wet wipes if you need to wipe anything down.
You're swabbing it all down.
All right, that's enough. You know what?
All right, okay.
I'm wearing a jersey. I'm going out
representing.
I'm representing. I am being a Bears fan right now.
I love it.
We got to talk to Ben Bradley on the CLTV and from the WGN TV newsroom in just a moment here. But first, Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
A venti-sized Starbucks store is headed to the Mag Mile. We'll tell you when it'll open coming up.
A lot of people trying to make their way into the lots around Soldier Field right now, so vehicles are backed up northbound on Lakeshore Drive, and things are solid on the Stevenson from the Dan Ryan. And there are several closures around Grant Park for the NFL kickoff experience. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffix Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Lauren Lapka from the iDOT Traffic Center reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom right now, and the traffic is insane down here.
It is. I think I got hit in Bears traffic when I rolled in at 1 o'clock this afternoon. That's how early people were coming down.
How about it? When does the tailgating begin?
Four hours beforehand?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think
officially.
They open those lots.
Yeah, they're tailgating already.
Yeah, lots just opened 2 minutes ago.
Actually, they opened them early because cars were lined up northbound on Lakeshore Drive starting at 2:30. So that's why the Stevenson is so bad right now, because they couldn't go anywhere, so they had to just give in and open them.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday who was one of these people who has an RV that's totally tricked out for the Bears, and she was saying, and I didn't think I realized this, but that because they've put limits on how early you can park in some of the lots closest to Soldier Field, like the McCormick Place service lot, etc., it's impacted the quote-unquote super fans, who like to make a whole day out of it, and they've actually had to go find, in some cases, some other places to park. Not quite as close to the stadium. You used to be able to go and just, spend 10 hours there pregame, but now with the restrictions on when they open the lots and whatnot, it's... Now, you can certainly still tailgate down there, but...
Right.
Yeah.
But those are the professionals who get started at 8 a.m.
Yes.
I mean, they know how to do it.
Yeah, that's after soaking the brat all night long.
Right.
That's code for something. But they marinate the meat. That's the most important thing you do is you start your marinating process like on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Some of those tailgaters, I mean, you know this, Anna. Some of those tailgaters, I mean, there's... it's not a small animal that's on that spit.
No. I have interviewed tailgaters for every Bears home season for four seasons a row when I did the tailgater of the game on the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain group that does whatever the opposing team is. They will try to roast something that resembles that team.
Now, what about when we play the Panthers?
I don't know. They'll find
something. What I got here is some genuine fresh panther meat that we're cooking
up. They find it. I don't know how they do, but they do.
It's a little gamey.
All of it's a little gamey.
Well, and it really is kind of a full week process. People say, oh, the game's just on a Sunday or whenever it is. But no, as you mentioned, you got to spend like 3 days beforehand, you know, marinating your meat. And then for like the 3 days after, it's your heart and your arteries, you know, where it's all coagulating, and then you kind of start over again.
Mm-hmm. And what are you saying? What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
You did a really cool, you know, you're an aviation geek. I'm an aviation geek. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who love the idea of the flying airplane. You took a flight on the Super 80 as they were taking it out to the boneyard for American Airlines.
Yeah, this was pretty cool. Yesterday, American Airlines retired the final 26 McDonnell Douglas built Super 80 aircraft in its fleet, and rather than kind of doing it piecemeal, they decided to really make a party out of it. And so the flights, you know, were going all over the country, including to Chicago. Those were the last passenger flights, revenue flights, as they call them. And then they flew all of those Super 80s to the Boneyard in Roswell, New Mexico. And maybe you've seen pictures of these before. We've got some drone video for those of you watching on CLTV here in just a minute. But it's really an amazing place. You know, they bring these airplanes out into the desert, sometimes to store them, to mothball them. And other times, this is where airplanes go to die. And, you know, the low humidity obviously is good for preserving parts that they may want to reuse. But it was wild to be down there, not only to see, you know, this airplane that's been a staple of aviation for decades. I think it went into service. Super 80 went into service for American back in 1983.
Off of the DC-9 model.
Yeah.
Right? So that airframe is 50 years old.
It is. And you know, this is the airplane for those non-geeks out there. This is the one, rather than having the engines underneath the wings, they're kind of at the very rear of the fuselage on either side just before the tail begins. So, if you know, people complain about sitting in the last row of an airplane now because you're close to the bathroom, mm-hmm. whatnot. When you sat in the last couple of rows on the Super 80, the engine was literally right outside your window, rattling and making noise.
I like that.
And,
there was at least one incident where that did not end well.
No. But let me ask you a question, because I'm not familiar with the Boneyard. I've heard it described elsewhere, the airplane graveyard. You're calling it the Boneyard. It's a place where you can source parts, but does it turn into like a museum type of thing?
No. There is a whole tourism thing to this. There's another one in Victorville. Certainly aviation geeks like Ro and I might make a vacation out of it.
Yeah.
Many of
There's a military boneyard. There's a couple military boneyards. There's these are commercial aircraft, obviously. Mm-hmm. And was this only American, or is it all commercial aircraft?
So American uses this facility in Roswell, New Mexico. But, no, this airport also has that an old Saudi Arabian Airlines 747. You know, they've got planes that you've never heard of from all over the world, a couple hundred planes parked there. They even actually have one of Elvis's old planes.
Wow.
And they're just literally parked on the, in some cases, on the dirt in the desert. You know, and some of them don't have doors. The engines have been stripped off. You know, some of them will stay there for months or years. And then actually, despite how they look, startup carrier and some, you know, overseas market may buy it. Sometimes these get converted into cargo planes. I think there's some talk that the Super 80 could become a smaller cargo plane. So, yeah, most of the airplanes go out there to die, but some of them are stored. And I was fascinated. Guess how much it costs to store an airplane per day out at this particular facility in Roswell? Now, this is without, you know, any ongoing maintenance. This is just the cost
they
to park.
Breakfast in the morning?
Turn down service at night.
Storage lot is like what, $209 a month?
Yeah,
that's got to be.
It is cheaper to store an airplane out in Roswell, New Mexico, in the desert, than it is for you and I to park our car at O'Hare. $10 a day. But no, you don't get breakfast.
Oh.
$10 a day.
What are the perks? Anything?
Now, what if I want to go rent? What if I want to get a, like a room? What if I want to just live in one of those things? Like the Saudi 747, it's probably got bedrooms and stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. They said it was really nice inside. But then as they started scavenging for parts, as you can imagine, birds and other things can get in there. But
yeah, but that'd be nice to have like a Saudi 747 as your house.
That'd be actually a cool hotel idea.
Mm. Yeah.
The only problem is then you're just vacationing in the desert with nothing around you. But
sounds
let me tell you, the Roswell, New Mexico mayor was super excited for all of this. He gave the CEO of American Airlines the keys to the city because he said, "Well, hey, this is great for us. This is business for us. This is revenue."
Okay.
But one thing you never think about, where airplanes go to die. So we're going to have that story for you next week on WGN at 9.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Go cool. Bears, Ben.
Go Bears.
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 Go Bears.
We're going to play a little bit of the Bears super fans on the WGN TV morning news, which was really something.
They're so funny.
Yeah. They have a song. They have another song. Bears.
Bears.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben.
Yep.
Let's check in with Kim. I'm sorry. I refuse to say the word PAC, you know. I won't even play Pac-Man today. That's how crazy this is. Or Ms. Pac-Man. Not that I was playing.
Maybe that should be my name today, Ms. Pac-Man.
Oh. Do you have the news?
Yes, I do.
You know what this means, don't you?
I do. We're about to hear the intro. I'm going to shut my ears for a second.
It's time now to introduce
Ben Osteen!
Is he done?
It's a 3-alarm fire somewhere in Chicago. The Bears.
Go Bears. Bears.
This is a very exciting day here in Chicago.
It's a huge day.
Yeah. This is the kind of moment that this city does really well when you show it from the angles that you show Bears games from. Downtown, Grant Park.
Beautiful.
The, you know, Michigan Avenue as it spreads into, you know, you look at the Millennium Park and the band shell and the bean and all that. It's like people are, it's just, so, and it's a beautiful day. So people are thinking, now, Chicago, why is the president always saying bad things about Chicago
right.
when they see this?
The national attention on this view of Chicago is just spectacular.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's 100 years of America sport, and it is unique and fun, and we have the originators of the game. We have the founding teams playing tonight. It's going to be huge.
Yes, it is.
Huge.
I mean, when they face off at any time, it's huge. But think about it.
It is. It is. That's true. I mean, you look, it's going to be, you know, you got Trubisky and Rodgers. You've got, you know, the Chicago defense is stout as hell. And I've got them in about 7 of my fantasy leagues. It's
degenerate. Yeah. Did you see? I want to tell you something that is an astounding fact.
Uh-huh.
They just legalized sports gambling in Indiana, and it's online now. It's not. It isn't working here yet. They legalized it here, but the state of Illinois can't get out of its own way in order to get ready for the football season. And we're broke, and we could use the money, but whatever.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like the most ridiculous thing. So Indiana's already up and going. So Indiana has a Caesars casino in right over the border from here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They have taken more action on the Bears-Packers game in the 5 days they have been open than Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas has taken since April.
Yeah, and in fact, you actually raised by that statistic a very important point that has some of the folks out in Vegas a little bit worried as gambling goes viral, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People closer to home will play closer to home, and it's not surprising at all. So, y'all need to get off the stick out there. Look, we're examining that space here on the East Coast, and certainly in places like Maryland. So, it is the future, and states like Indiana are going to have a good 2019 and 2020. being sort of the cutting edge of that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be, it really is going to be fair.
But tonight's a huge night, and I think a lot of folks, because it's the 100th year of football, and you've got two great teams that have had some historic battles going up against each other. I think the viewership tonight's going to be big. I know a lot of folks have been watching the NFL channel and the coverage out of Chicago since early this morning Morning Football and all of that. So it's just been a great day, man, for football.
Mm-hmm. And NBC hasn't been promoting this game at all. No. I haven't seen any of it on NBC.
Did we even know it was on NBC?
They actually painted the Bears and Packers logos on Chuck Todd's forehead.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was weird.
I think all of their anchors, they have to have that. That's
didn't
part
seem
of it.
Right.
They're wearing blue and orange.
What is the overall record, Kevin? This is always an astounding number when you get this between the Bears and the Packers.
Isn't it even? About?
It is 97 to, well, hang on, let me pull it up.
It's 97-95.
Get the exact number here.
So yeah, it's pretty close.
It's the 199th time they're playing against each other. I just had it in front of me.
Yeah.
And 90 Packers have won 97 times, Bears have won 95 times, and there's been six ties.
Yeah. That says a lot. That says a lot about this rivalry. And I think tonight's going to be a good one. Looking forward to it myself. Yeah.
When they asked Aaron Rodgers about what's his favorite part of the Bears Packers rivalry, did you hear what he said?
What?
Winning. Because he has won a lot more than he's lost.
Right.
However, Khalil Mack, when he was asked the same question, said, sacking Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
And Mack terrorized him last year in both games they played. I mean, remember, week one what he did. I mean, Matt Nagy said this week he was just in complete awe of watching Khalil Mack play in that game. And then in the game they clinched the division later on in the season, Mack had a couple sacks then as well. By the way, he had the butt sack where he actually just backed into Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's
that was
right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Took him down. Yeah. So he's performed well on the big stage against the Packers.
Yes, he clinched his buttocks and Aaron Rodgers was blown across the field. It was an amazing thing. I know, it really is. Khalil Mack, it was a year ago on, what was it, like Monday or something was the anniversary of it, right? Where the Bears signed Khalil Mack, and we were all like, what? Wait, what happened? Where did that, what? And not a lot of really beautiful things have happened here of late. especially in the sporting world, yes, the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. But a few days later, Donald Trump got elected president of the United States, and everybody went, wait, what happened? So
right,
it was like,
right,
you know,
right.
So what we have here is a moment where there's real excitement. However, it has been dampened a little bit because there was a Sports Illustrated communist pinko agitator who said that the Bears are going to go 7-9 and be at the bottom of the NFC.
It didn't dampen anything. That guy's an idiot.
I'm just saying. It's just a dampened
he
me
is
a little
an idiot.
Bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look, you're not the Redskins. So can we just
that's
start
true.
There?
Yeah, that's true.
All right,
yeah.
my home team, and you know, fortunately, I'm in the beautiful position of having Baltimore Ravens, which has another stout defense, their quarterback Jackson's going to be one to watch, and the new running back Justice is going to be fun. So you know it. There are opportunities for us in the region, but you guys, you know, shouldn't nitpick so much.
I know.
Be grateful. You have one of the preeminent teams in the league. You have one of the founding teams in the league.
Right.
And celebrate today. 7-9, crazy. Come on.
Yes, that's true. All we have to be is 1-0 after tonight. Baltimore.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Baltimore is such a great football town, too. You know, I mean, it was
an insane
football town. And then, you know, and they had the thing is they had a divorce and they got and when they got remarried, they love this team even more than they love the Colts. As a matter of fact, that's the thing. When the Colts come back into Baltimore, that is an ugly moment.
It is. Yeah, the boo birds are nesting all along 95 on there as the bus rolls in. Yeah, it's not pretty sight. But you know, look, it's part of the game, and you know, the fan base and the loyalty from the fan base means a lot to these teams, and it's not just from the financial standpoint. I mean, I think you can see today just watching the fans kind of just turn up and turn out already for the game tonight, and making a big deal says a lot about, you know, that the spirit of the sport is still good despite the kneeling, not kneeling, the protests and this and that, the people who try to inject politics into what is just a great family sport. You know, I think we take it for what it is.
Listen, it makes Sundays survivable. That's the thing, Michael. It's like if we didn't have football on Sundays in the fall, I don't think I'd be alive.
Well, I go to church, so I start there.
Oh,
so I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if my mama heard this conversation, she'd be whipping me upside my head if I didn't acknowledge.
Well, good. I'm glad you were able to get the plug in for church. But I'm just saying that Sunday afternoons when the sun goes down at 3:30 in Chicago, if there's not football on, it's like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, it helps, for
sure.
It is
some of the most miserable time in the world between February and right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, and Super Bowl is always a letdown. Then you're like, oh, my God, it's all over. And there's no college ball. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing left. And you're like,
there's
okay,
nothing left.
I guess pitchers and catchers are going to report soon. And you're like, okay, it's kind of okay, but it's not like this. All right, let me just ask you about, well, I don't even know where to begin. This, there have been such ludicrousness that's gone on. The one question I have about what's happened here over the last week or so is we now see a naked, very naked attempt to cash in for the Trump Organization on the presidency.
Right.
You've got it, whether, you know, was him suggesting that they do the G7 at Doral or sending the vice president 3 hours out of his way to stay at a Trump resort as opposed to staying in Dublin, Ireland for meetings. I mean, it's like it's a weird, I don't understand how it's even remotely legal. And I cannot believe that nobody is pointing in Washington, in official Washington, is standing up and going, this isn't right. Because if another chief executive, I would say this, if the mayor of Chicago owned a hotel chain and made sure that the city only did business in that hotel chain, that guy would be in Terre Haute in the honor camp.
Yeah, he would be where a lot of
Illinois politicians
political
are.
Figures wind up when they do stuff like that. You put your finger on the crux of what I think is the problem right now. And I have to be honest, I've been surprised that there has not been the kind of public response and outrage to these things. Now, you know, I had someone say to me that the public is wholly ignorant as to the Emoluments Clause. First off, you know,
that's,
they have a hard time saying the word and all that kind of crazy. I just refuse to believe that people are that checked out to not recognize that when the vice president is told or suggested to stay 100+ miles away from the site, 3 hours away, at a Trump-owned property in Ireland, or when diplomats are told that, you know, your phone calls will get returned and you have a better relationship with the administration if when you bring your delegation to Washington, they stay at the Trump Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue, that's not bothersome to people. And we need to make it very clear that we don't accept that, because the future, if we don't, does not bode good or well for the country if politicians think that they can get away from them. And how do you then go after the next president, the next governor, the next senator who is, you know, wealthy enough to own property and have other business interests alongside of their public duties, and go after them when we've said nothing and done nothing about what we see happening with Trump?
Right.
And so you've got to draw the line. The American people need to do that, and they should be slapping their elected officials upside the head because they're not pressing this issue forcefully. And people, quite honestly, aren't taking to the streets or aren't complaining about it, so Trump's going to continue to do it.
Right. It is. It's amazing how quiet it is. I mean, imagine if,
you know,
The Obama Motel. If all of a sudden the Obama had a whole chain of motels all over, and only and you know while he was president, and only officials could stay in those. And if you had to do a Christmas party, you had to do it in the Obama Motel lounge. You know, that would be it. It's sort of like that doesn't seem. First of all, it wouldn't be as nice, but it doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem right.
No, it's not right, and I don't think we should tolerate it. We should make it very clear. We want a public divestment of all interest that you have, personal interest in these properties, and we want it very clearly delineated. We want a, quote, Chinese wall built. How ironic is that? But we want a Chinese wall built around your personal interests and a separation of that. And you know, if you can't do that, then that we that's good for us to know as we go to the ballot box in 2020.
Right. Michael Steele, thank you.
Thanks,
now,
Michael.
If you, not that you're a betting man or anything, but if you were to legally wager in the state of Indiana on this, what would you what would you say tonight? What is the Kev? What's the line right now?
Three is the last I saw.
Bears minus
Bears.
Three. I mean plus three. Minus three.
Minus three.
Minus three. Their Bears are favored by three.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think the Bears have got an enormous amount of momentum. I think they've got. While, you know, having a healthy Aaron Rodgers back and certainly given all of the changes that have happened with the Packs, with the Packers, I think Chicago is, they are tasting a little bit of destiny. And when a team kind of gets that in their, you know, in their space, in their vibe, it, you feel it and you translate. So I think they're going to do well tonight. And as they say, da Bears, we're ready for them. Let's do it.
Bears.
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 That's really, in Chicago, that's what it is. Just Bears. All right. Bears. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
All right.
Bye,
Michael. Talk to you next week. Michael Steele. There he goes. He's our hero.
Man of Steel.
Well, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
We'll bring you the story of a Gurnee man who says he became seriously ill from vaping. You'll hear from him coming up. Some beers.
Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to get ready for... the Big Bears pregame show. Bartolini's is here.
I could smell the delicious food in the hallway. I was like, what's going on? Like, well, we're from Bartolini's. I was like, hey, nice
to meet
you.
They walked a sub in a sandwich, sub sandwich into the station. It took like five people. It's just half the length of the hallway.
Did you see the mounds of food?
Yes.
I mean, Hampton OP, I know they eat a lot.
It's
and you too, Ro.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hey, easy.
Hey,
easy.
You've been known to put Bears. Down a sausage or two.
Bears. I did notice that they are they're from over by Midlothian.
Oh,
and they literally had to turn a corner with the submarine sandwich that they couldn't turn.
It was they weren't able to get through certain entrances.
Positioning a couch while you're moving it around a house.
Right.
It
was a freight elevator.
Lift up that side
and a freight elevator.
Shimmy your way to the left a little bit.
They said they left at like noon because they were worried about Bears traffic, and they barely made it.
Yeah, things really started getting bad around like 1:30. It's insane.
I mean, we're leaving here right at 6. And
right. You're taking me.
We're going to fly over there, and it should normally be like a 10-minute trip.
Who knows?
This is going to take a while, I think.
I don't get to leave until 7.
How are you going to get
there? We'll see you in the third quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, once the game starts, there will be no traffic. People want to be there on time for this. Are you kidding?
You would hope.
I'm hoping so.
I want everybody in their seats by the time I leave here at 7.
Or there'll be hell to pay.
Right. I want you past the gate. I want you in your seats. And I got a hard ticket. I know. It's going to be very confusing for somebody that I got a hard ticket. But I got a hard ticket. It's a real hard ticket.
They hold you outside.
I got to
confirm.
Because
no one's ever seen a hard ticket. You're one of the, you know, three people who has a hard ticket. People are wondering, is your ticket legit? Because yesterday you were talking so much about having a hard ticket.
Yeah.
Not everybody heard
Turns
the outcome
out it's
of that
a hard
story.
Ticket. We were able to confirm that it was, these were printed by the NFL for the TV network.
So even though they went mobile, all mobile,
right,
that there are a few exceptions.
Correct.
And you happen to have one of
them. There's 100
even though it
exceptions.
It looks like a fake ticket because there's a strange bear
hey,
on
excuse
it.
Excuse me. The bear looks nervous. That's the problem
it's
with it.
Very weird bear. Yeah. It does not look like any Chicago right. bear I know.
The bear looks tense. And it's like, why is the bear why is the bear on the ticket look like he's questioning what's happening? Which is exactly what it looks like. I don't know.
He's as confused about the ticket as you are.
And I should point this out. We got a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's. The Bartolini guys are gonna give it away coming up in just a few minutes. The best Italian cuisine in Chicago ships to all 50 states, home of the Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich challenge. Their newly renovated bar and dining room offers 24 beers on tap, including many local brews. Visit Bartolini's.com. That's what it says right there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All coming your way. All coming your way. But first, let's do this. And then we've got Kim Gordon's news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right after. Okay. Bears.
The Bears.
Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right. Bartolini's. Now, you know, this name, you know, if you listen to Hamp and OB with Kaz, mm-hmm. you know, you know, this is, you know, you've heard this.
They'll mention it a few times.
Yeah, it's.
And they should.
You might have heard of them before. This is Bartolini's restaurant, family owned and operated. It's, they say the best cuisine in Chicago, Italian cuisine in Chicagoland. Now, that's a very tall order.
It is.
However, I believe, based on what I have just experienced,
I know.
They delivered on their promise right there.
That ooey gooey yummy cheesy gnocchi is outrageously good.
Yeah.
I don't. Oh, so
gnocchi
good.
Carbonara. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I feel the arteries just fat. Slowly.
Like, yeah, and then not so slowly. I actually feel them. I can actually feel my heart just texted me. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I go, I'm enjoying myself. That is what I am doing.
Leave me alone. It's Bartolini's.
That carbonara. All right, so now that's the thing. You don't find that everywhere. Not there's a lot of joints that will not do a carbonara because it's tough. You got to do it right, and it's not an inexpensive thing to make.
No, it's not. But it's good. I mean, it's all about when you come to Bartolini's, it's all about getting quality and just leaving sassy, happy, and fat.
Now, do you guys do... I like that.
And it's not in that order either.
Do you do the family... Do you encourage family style or do you... Because it seems like you're huge portions. But do you... What do you do? What do you recommend on that?
We don't do a lot of family style. It's more... Everybody orders individuals. We do have some sharing appetizers, stuff of that nature. And we sell a lot of pizza. So there's a lot of sharing with pizza.
Right. That pizza looks good.
Hey, you do that as like an appetizer and then go into the gnocchi carbonara.
I like that.
There's
salad later if you got room for it.
They got a
what? What was that?
You don't do salad.
I'm sorry, something's wrong with my mic. S word.
Salad.
Salad.
Get out! Get out of my restaurant right now!
I probably bring salad to a tailgate. Knowing me, just the way I am. I like to have a little salad.
Something light.
Somebody bring. I've got the kale over here,
but I still eat the other stuff. I just
kind of.
Well, I ate that.
If you want something light, we try the round guy.
That's got an amazing story.
So now we'll get to the round guy in a second. I want to talk about that big long sandwich that you had out there, and as we said earlier, it's like moving a couch around to get it in the doorway, and then you know.
Did you use the freight elevator to get it up?
We did, and we lifted with our knees, not our back.
Good, you had the brace on. Yes. That's what you're supposed to do.
The meatball sandwich is kind of a way for people to come to Bartolini's every day and have some fun, have a good sandwich. It's great for catering if you're going to the Bears game tonight.
How long is it? Seriously.
3 feet long.
3 feet.
It's on a 3 foot long piece of Toronto French bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 5 pounds of meatballs, which is 42 ounce meatballs, a pound and a half of our red gravy, pound and a half of cheese, and a pound of pepper. So it means 10 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's why it looks bigger, because it's so bulky. It's just like, it's got a lot on it.
Well, we sell a ton of them.
Yeah, people say, hey, come out for the game on Sunday. You're like, what should I bring? You'd be like, I don't know. You show up with Bartolini's 10-pound meatball sandwich. You're a hero.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a hero.
I know what you're about to
say.
You've got fans.
Fans.
That's right.
Big fans.
Yeah, that's right. But how does it travel, though? What do you do? You have to put it in the back seat. You have to put it in the trunk. What do you do with it?
Well, yeah, you can't fold it up, put it in the glove box.
It's
right.
3 feet long.
And then, and how do you secure that? Like, you wrap it all in paper and stuff? Is that what you're doing? Like,
yeah, we put on a piece of foil, and then we actually, Toronto makes a great box for it, and we put it right inside.
They got a box? Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sub box that we've turned into a meatball box.
Yes.
So we've kind of repurposed their sub box for a meatball box.
See, now that's very nice. They do the best. They got the best bread. Do they not have the best bread
phenomenal.
On the planet?
Great customer service. Legendary. Been using them since day one, 25 years ago. They've been fantastic for us.
They're the best.
And you two started it 25 years ago?
Yep. We had 800 square feet, little tiny storefront. Now we've got over 8,000 under roof. Plus another couple thousand outside in the patio.
Yeah. Wow. What was the inspiration back then? Was there a certain recipe or that just like everybody loved or what was it?
Well, the meatballs are from our grandfather, from my mom's side.
I see that explained.
Yeah.
But our uncle's been in business for over 48 years, family business on the south side. Fasano's Pizza, if you're out there, great. And 83rd and Roberts Road.
Yep. There it is.
Yep. Shout out for Uncle Greg.
Yep.
So we worked there growing up as kids. And then our dad had a place for a few years in Burbank. And we just, you know, I was out doing fine dining, white tablecloth, working for a private club company. Dominic was working. I left my job. It's like, hey, we came home one day, started talking. Let's go find a spot.
And people should know, this is kind of interesting, because you don't get this a lot. These guys are both classically trained from the CIA. And I don't mean this CIA. I don't mean that the CIA that we all have to be, you know, kind of worried about from time to time. Mm-hmm. The Culinary Institute of America, which is where it's the best of the best there. That's a real big deal.
What's kind of cool is we get to go in every day and do some regular simple stuff. But then we can turn it with catering. We get really creative and have some fun. And even with our specials, we do specials every week that we kind of pull out of our memory banks and come up with some cool items.
Yeah. Mix it up. And then every once in a while you get the guy who comes in who just gets a name, like an entree named after him. Got the round guy.
Matt Prim. Local guy, big baseball guy in Midlothian, does a lot of fundraising for the town, and Matt
does a lot
of
good things for everything. Yeah.
Two of our favorite appetizers are our beer nuggets, which are our deep fried pizza dough tossed in garlic butter and Parmesan.
Very heart healthy.
Oh boy,
very
dipped in red gravy.
How are you doing over there, Ro?
You know, we're
going to bring the Northwestern guy in, Dr. Adams. We're going to have him sit here with these two guys and just start to openly weep.
Yes. As he looks at us with that face and just shakes his head. Yeah. No.
We can put us on commission.
You guys won't make it to 40. All right. So what is the... so go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah, and then our mini meatball appetizer. So Matt combined them into one appetizer where it's half order of each. Red sauce, smothered in mozzarella cheese. He was out on social media pumping it up, coming in the restaurant. We sold 120 some orders in 1 week. People are they're coming to the restaurant now. We'll have two round guys, please.
Amazing.
It's great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's going to be on it's on the new menu. It's on it's a secret menu item right now, but it's on the menu every day.
Oh, great secret. Nicely done, Chris. Good
Until
job
now.
Keeping the secret. Yeah. All right. Hold on. We got a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's. I want to give that away right now.
Oh, I hope I win it.
All right.
I hope I win that.
I think you're not eligible. Oh. Caller number 34. At 312-981-7200, wins a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's Restaurant. Family-owned and operated. You're hearing about it right here. They ship to all 50 states. What, do you freeze it and then ship it? Or how do you do that? Because the three-foot thing, is that going to go?
Got to go on
United? How's that go?
That 10-pounder doesn't get shipped.
That's local.
Yeah. That's local pickup only, as they would say when you're calling in.
We can deliver it local.
All right. And 24 beers on tap. We're going to try some of those next. Many local. We're going to try those, right? We got guys from Tinley here.
Yes. Got Hailstorm Brewery, and we also have Blue Island Beer Company in Blue Island. Right. So two beers from both that are on tap at the
Good
restaurant.
People.
Yep. All right. So Bartolini's.com is your web friend right there, Bartolini's.com. Good luck. 34th caller right now, 312-981-7200. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, Hurricane Dorian's heading into North Carolina. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Bartolini's is here.
Hello.
They are the restaurant, family-owned and operated with the best Italian cuisine in Chicagoland. That's what they say. And I right now, I cannot argue with
cannot.
That. I cannot go,
be
you know, there might be. No, I can't do it.
No, it's, yeah. And you have this raspberry habanero barbecue sauce that's like outrageously good. You bottled it, you sell it, right?
We do.
Amazing.
It's in a few stores locally, and then plus we have actually a few restaurants that use it at their place, too.
Where can you get it locally?
CP Meat Market in New Lenox.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one selling client is Jam Electric at 115th Street in Elsop, Illinois. right. They,
my God, we're
they're friends
a lot of
ours.
Right.
Yeah. They
walk, keep your finger on the button.
I know.
You walk in the door. They have a, it's an electrical shop.
Mm-hmm.
You buy equipment, buy supplies. They have a display on the counter. And if you buy a full ticket, they'll give you a bottle for free. Otherwise, he's our number one seller. People yeah. walk
Dave
in.
Dave and Phil. They're great
Dave
guys
and Phil.
Over there.
Two
oh,
brothers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Casey's Meat Market and Willis, in Western Springs.
Uh-huh. Right? I've been there.
Wheaton Meat Market in Wheaton.
Yeah. Okay.
Where else? Gosh. Piggly Wiggly in Lake Geneva.
Oh, the Piggly Wiggly in Lake
oh,
Geneva.
I love the Piggly yeah. Wiggly, mm-hmm. except today because the, they're probably Packer fans.
That's
over
right.
There,
yeah. So. Well, oh, hey, just, easy, easy.
A lot of Chicago, lot of Chicago people moment. In Lake Geneva.
Yeah, we pulled out just for today, and then we'll put
right.
it back.
Right. Yeah, just today. You know, you yes. take a 1 day hiatus, yeah. and then son, they're okay tomorrow.
My son lives in Omaha, and he's living with a Packer fan. She's really nice, but she
it's whole, a mixed marriage.
The yes, whole family's Packer fans.
This you know I what it is? This devastated. Is like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, the 21st century version of it. Yeah,
my
right?
son Tim and Paige, she's a Packer fan. Her, the whole family, it's
is everybody okay
did,
with
did
it?
You have that did yeah. you have the meeting with him, like, you do you realize how people are going to look at you
yes.
in restaurants and
oh,
other
yeah.
places?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We don't we look at her in disgust.
Hey, she's a sweetheart. She's got one fault. She can't help herself.
Well, I know. She can't help out. We know where she was born. I understand that.
They're in Omaha. It's either that or Nebraska fans, and they're Nebraska and...
Well, that's true.
Well,
they're the worst.
And Nebraska Packers. Nebraska fans are big. And it's because they got one thing in the state.
Mm-hmm.
They got Nebraska football.
Right.
That's it.
That's it. Black shirts.
Begins yep. and ends with that.
Yes.
And it doesn't... Not like Iowa split. You got to decide here. Iowa State, yeah. right? Nebraska, there is no decision. Mm-hmm.
It's one.
It's one thing, and it's a unified front, and they're going to be good this year.
They
actually.
go to every game.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's loud and big. Lincoln, Nebraska. All right, let's give them a plug too while we're at it. Very quickly, let's talk about the beers because I know that these are also some of your fine.
Yeah, I'm the beer guy. So,
all right,
we have 24 beers on tap, and it's something I'm really passionate about. So today we've got Southside Red from Hailstorm. It's a great, easy drinking craft beer. Right there, you've got the Five Bridges Kolsch from Blue Island Beer Company.
Oh.
Very good. Blue Island Beer Company right there, downtown Blue Island.
Allen.
Is there a downtown Blue Island? Is there opposed to outtown? Like, is there an uptown Blue Island?
If you're from Blue Island, there is. Yes, yeah. Blue Island, it's great.
Good side of the tracks and the bad side.
Allen does good. And also from Allen, we have the Hard Luck IPA. Mm-hmm. It's a really good beer. Hard Luck IPA, one of our biggest sellers.
Yep.
And then also from Hailstorm today, which we don't have on tap right now, but it's Prairie Madness, India Pale Ale. They actually won the gold medal last year. You don't have that over there yet. You need one.
Yeah, I need one. Yeah,
they actually won the gold medal that last year with this in Colorado. It is an awesome beer. It's hard. It's even hard to get at Hailstorm.
This is this red one. This is the.
That's a Southside Red.
The Southside Red.
The Southside Red is really
delicious.
Good.
That's Blue Island. That's
no,
nice.
No, Southside Red is Hailstorm.
That's Hailstorm. That's Hailstorm. That's from Blue Island. Don't. Hey, who's asking?
Yeah.
Why does everyone know where I'm from? What's going on? All right. If you want to go to Bartolini's, you should go tonight. Before I get in there right now before the Bears game starts.
It's going to be crazy. And what we do during every Bear game,
uh-huh.
it's dine-in, half-price pizza, half-price mini meatball appetizers, half-price beer nuggets. And Thursdays, it's $7 pitchers. Sundays, it's...
How big is the bar?
Bar, we got 25 seats, and then we've got some sidebar tables.
Got some rounds?
Got some
high-top rounds?
They're not rounds. They're rectangles. Rectangles.
Oh, see, they're nice. So it's better. You know what? That turns out better for viewing.
Yeah, but
true. And it keeps people quieter.
Correct.
Because you put them in a round, they start talking to each other in the middle of the game. You can't have that.
No, we don't like that.
Like Packers fans? What the hell are we doing here?
So the bar is cool. Our Aunt Shelley's one of the bartenders. She's there four nights a week. And my daughter, Jordan, she's one of our bartenders. So, you know, we got a good staff. Got, like I said, we have employees been with us over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's a good family place. When people walk in the door, if you're a regular, the girls know you. They know where you sit. New people come in. We do our best to welcome them, make them feel comfortable, make them feel
like
family.
What are you doing here? Not like that.
It's not like that.
Who's this?
Because there are a few of those restaurants, too.
May I help you?
When somebody walks in, they're looking around. You know it's their first time there. We go out of our way to greet them, say hello to them, and try and treat them like family.
The waitress will be like, hey, go to F2. It's... Someone new. We're like, hey, what are you doing in this place? I don't know. You want me to pick your food up to go?
Right. Wait. Is this a joke or something?
Yeah.
All right. 14420 South Pulaski is the address if you want to head down. You find Pulaski, and then you go 144 easy. South, right? Yes. That's what you got to figure out.
Midlothian. Beautiful Midlothian.
Yep.
Kidding me?
And if you live in the city, take the train. It's a 2-block walk from the train station.
I was going to ask you about that, because you can do that, because that's easy. That's 20 minutes.
I'll come pick you up.
I had friends last month from Memphis. They came in. They stayed at the hotel right there.
Here comes the plug.
The London House. The London House. Stayed in London. Took the train down, came to Bartolini's, walked over, had dinner, went back downtown.
See,
and
nice.
Then They went to a Buffalo Bill bar in Chicago, up on Lincoln. There's a Buffalo Bill bar, and they're Bills fans. It's like, who knew there's a Buffalo Bill bar in Chicago?
Why is that allowed?
I don't know.
That's another one of those places. Like, what are you doing here? All right. And again, what is the special tonight? Explain, if people come in for the Bears game.
Half-price pizza for dine-in, half-price beer nuggets, half-price mini meatballs. And then
not half-price round guy, though.
No half-price round
guy. No, that can't happen.
Round guy's full price all the time.
Right, don't ask for it, because then they're going to kick you out. Yeah. Hey, could I get the round guy half-price?
Ask for it by name.
Hey. All right, wise guy, you're out of here.
Go sit on the outside for a while.
Cool off.
Oh, man. All right. Well, it was really fun to have you guys in. Thank you so much. And, of course, the fine sponsors of Hampo B with Kaz that you can hear every Bears game day or night, depending on when it runs. Tonight, Hamp is not going to be here. I'm sitting in for Hamp, which is really going to be something. I wish I could have taken a picture with my eyes of Dominic's expression on his face when I just said that. He was like, "You're doing what?"
Right.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. Does Hamp know this? I know what you're asking. He does, and he's not happy about it.
No, he wanted to see me. He said, "Dom, I'll see you Thursday." And I'm like, "Hey, you got it, pal." And now I got a tear.
Yeah. So he's coming in later, though.
Okay, good.
Because aren't they on afterwards, too?
Before and after.
So he'll be here for the after. So it'll be, don't worry about Dom. It's all going to be fine. But then they're going to talk about me. I know what's going to happen here. Because Hamp already said that I have the body structure of Dan Hampton when Dan was 4 months old.
I was I was confused.
I was going to say 12, but 4 months old.
No, okay. 4 months old. I was, and I like to say in utero. I think that's the closest we ever were. Yes, to having the same body type. But that's a totally different story. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
It was really great to meet you.
Amazing.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for your fine sponsorship of this radio station. We really appreciate it.
We love
Bartolini's. Do not miss this. If you're in the down in the Southland, go by Bartolini's in Midlothian. Right now, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News. Bears.
The Bears.
Kevin, you didn't give me a Bears.
Bears.
Lapka.
Bears. No.
Uh-huh. Deflating.
Oh, I think it was interesting, though. That's like a good night, Bears, is what that is.
That's a post-dessert from an amazing restaurant.
I know.
Did you have some of that cheesecake?
No, I had the other thing, which I think is like a tiramisu, but it was... It looked very different. It was so fluffy and delicious.
Oh, my.
And with chocolate sauce drizzled on top.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going into a food coma right now. Hold on. Okay.
Exactly. I'm already there.
So can I flip in a go-pack go while you're in a food
coma? Get out of here. No!
You're going to walk me right up. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Hit the dump button.
I'm going to throw up.
But you're eating such good food.
Listen, our friend Frank Ignatius is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Satellite. And he is from, Bet Chicago. We talked about them all last year. Great site for going and getting all kinds of detailed information. Any kind of, if you're a wagerer and you need to try to get an edge, Bet Chicago is an excellent place to do it. I used it all last football season, and it was incredibly helpful. And now they're about to launch Bet Indiana, which is actually going to be a live site where you can actually bet if you're in the state of Indiana, because Indiana got their crap together. We did not yet. Separate issue. Frank, I'm sorry to drag you into it, but it just gets me nuts. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening here in terms of the game itself tonight. Let's begin with that. There's a bunch of different for all of our players out there. There are a lot of different ways that you can bet this thing, including, so you got the Bears and they are -3, right?
That's right.
Hasn't moved on that line, not moved, and that basically is a pick 'em, right? Because they're at home.
Yeah, typically they give a 3-point advantage to the home team. So basically what the odds makers are saying are these are two perfectly balanced teams, and then there's a 3-point advantage for the game being played in Chicago.
Are they aware of the kicking situation here with that 3-point advantage? Are they aware of that?
You know, football's kind of a crazy game that you try to find a quarterback, you try to draft an offensive line, all these violent collisions, all this incredible athleticism, And then a little kicker comes out and decides the outcome of a game. As a bookmaker, it's sort of maddening because you can do all the work in the world sort of handicapping these games, and then the little kicker's the guy who decides it.
You know, the Bears opened as 4-point favorites earlier in the summer, but they were bet down to 3, meaning a lot of cash was going to the Bears, a lot of bettors taking the Bears. I mean, if you look across the NFL, I'm guessing, Frank, maybe you could tell us, the Bears have probably gotten the most action around the league, right?
They have. Chicago people are very frequent visitors to Las Vegas. So everybody who goes to Vegas from the Chicago area is always making a Bears Super Bowl bet or Bears to win more than X amount of games. So they're very, very much a popular team. So I think the trend is for Chicago teams to be a little
Undervalued.
Overvalued, depending on, we're on different sides of it. So I call it undervalued, you call it overvalued.
Yeah.
But it changes the the reality of the situation as far as how good they are.
Right, it's good for you guys. Let's put it that way. It's good for the bookmakers, not so good for the bettor, because the bettor is like, because we do have a tendency. I mean, this is a human reality. We have a tendency to bet with our hearts from time to time, more so than we do with our heads. And it is very hard for me on any given Sunday to bet against the Bears, no matter what the situation is, because you're getting a line, so you're figuring, well, I mean, okay, there's a lot I can justify. Even in the John Fox era, I could justify the most insane reasons to take the Bears in a game. But now there is real hope. For example, I find this to be really interesting. So the over-under in terms of yards in passing for Mitch Trubisky and for Aaron Rodgers is, there's only a 25-yard differential there, which is kind of surprising to me.
For tonight?
Yeah. So the over-under for Mitch tonight is 245.5.
Oh, I'm playing the under there.
And 270.5 for Aaron Rodgers. What would you do there?
270.5. I mean, I think he'll be right around there.
That's why they set that line.
I know. I would probably go over 270.
All right. TD passes, 1.5.
For Rodgers?
For Mitch.
I'd go over.
You go over on that?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Because now Aaron Rodgers, they didn't print that for me. Do you know, Frank, what that is?
Well, they're both 1.5 on TD passes. You just have to lay a little more juice on Rodgers on the over. So what we're saying is Rodgers will probably throw more than 1.5, and Mitch will probably throw less than 1.5.
So that'd be like 120?
On Rodgers, it's minus 170 on the over.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Easy. Okay. Ow. Wait, 170. Who needs minus 170? Who needs that? Ow. That's going to hurt. All right. This is interesting. David Montgomery, in terms of rush yards, 53.5. Right? But he's not going to be your starter, is he?
He'll likely get the bulk of the carries. Absolutely. Yeah. I just think it's hard to predict that because it is sort of a three-headed monster out of the backfield with Mike Davis, David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, who I think will be involved more in the passing game rather than the running game. But David Montgomery flashed some pretty incredible highlights in that first preseason game, and then Matt Nagy shut him down, which to me tells, what did Matt Nagy do with all the other starters? He shut him down for the entire preseason. So Montgomery, the third-round pick, their top pick in the draft, they saw some stuff in him, and they're like, okay, let's get him to the season opener. This guy has a ton of talent. I think he gets the bulk of the carries.
I think what's making these games, at least the early games, so difficult to handicap is they're not playing anybody in the preseason anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it really is going to be the first time we see the Packers offense and the first time we've seen anything from the Bears. They haven't played anybody all preseason. So we might be as surprised as anyone.
And I think that's why everybody's, look, we're all hyped and excited about this team. We think this team's legit. We think they can win a lot of games. But I think that's why there are some sort of, everybody's a little bit hesitant because we just don't know. First of all, it's Aaron Rodgers. Okay, they went 6-9-1 last year. He still threw 25 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions and over 4,000 yards. He still had a good year, and not necessarily Aaron Rodgers standard, but he still had a good year. And as you mentioned, Frank, they have this new offense coming in where it supposedly gives Aaron Rodgers a little bit more flexibility to call audibles and those kind of things. So I think that's the one reason I think a lot of us are kind of like, I don't know. You're not completely confident in the Bears because we just don't know how the Packers are going to look. I think we can all expect to see from the Bears what we saw last year. The Packers, to me, that's the biggest question mark tonight.
Well, I agree, and you should be careful by saying we could expect to see exactly what we saw last year. Are you sure you can? I mean,
I don't see why there would be a drop off.
Frank, please don't. Oh God!
But why? No, seriously. Why would there be a drop off though? They're returning all 10 starters on defense. They have HaHa Clinton Dix, who some think is actually better than Adrian Amos, and all they've done on offense is get more experience and reps and added more talent to it. So I don't see why there would be a drop off.
The only thing I would caution you on is they played one of the easiest schedules in the NFL last year, and now they have one of the most difficult. And they also had a really good season injury-wise last year. Really no significant time lost by anybody. So please keep me out of it as far as the emotions are concerned. I have no emotional attachment to
but
any
you
of this.
Can hear Frank has zero too emotions, late. Period. Know, did you like, notice that?
It's all math.
Right. He basically is a Klingon, is whatever's going on here. Wait. No, what was Spock? What was he? He was
a Star Wars person. Not a Star Trek.
He was a thing.
When it comes to the schedule, I'll say this, and we were talking about this earlier in the week. They could be a better team this year than they were last year. And the injury thing, you could factor that in with just about every team. I agree. They really lucked out with injuries last year. The Bears could win less games this year than they did last year and still be a better team because that's how difficult their schedule is this year. It doesn't mean they're not as good.
Excellent point, Kevin. But now you're bringing me down. All right, let me throw a couple of other things out here. David Montgomery is 8-1 to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Third best
Third best odds. Kyler Murray's the big favorite. He's the quarterback for the Cardinals, and it's hard to see him not winning that, because of the position he plays and right. the opportunities
he's also he's with the Cardinals. Though God knows what's going to happen with that franchise. And then total wins for the season, the over under there's 9.5, and the even money for the Bears to make the playoffs, and for the Bears to win the Super Bowl, they are 12-1, sixth best odds. What's interesting is to win the NFC, they are the third best odds at 7-1. And yet, you've had a lot of both ESPN and Sports Illustrated come out and poo-poo that whole thing. So what are they seeing that the odds makers aren't seeing? Or is this just the numbers? Because, like you said, the Bears are a little overvalued from the bettors' perspective because there's so many Chicagoans betting.
Well, I think that's part of it, and I know we were joking about it earlier, but I really do think that kicker is a problem. That position, it could be worth one or two wins this year, either wins or losses, depending on that performance. So the 9.5, I think, is due to the schedule. I think it's very difficult to project them to win 11 or 12 games like they did last year, just because the schedule's so difficult. And what's interesting is the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings are all right around 9, 9.5 in total wins. So we see it as kind of a dead heat between those three teams.
Wow. All right. For people who want to play college, there's one of the most lopsided odds situations this weekend. As Alabama, which was not struck by the hurricane, by the way, just letting you know, Alabama is a 55.5-point favorite over New Mexico State. Now, when you got a number like that, I saw that a couple of years ago. It was, I forgot who it was, playing Incarnate Word, which is just designed to be that team that has to, that gets the 60 points put on them, but that probably gets covered more than it doesn't, right? When you have that sort of a lopside.
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, if we're doing our job correctly, it probably covers
evenly,
exactly half as much. So, yeah. But yeah, 8 touchdowns, that could be kind of a fun bet, right? You sit there and if you take New Mexico State, you just hold on and try to cover.
Oh my God.
8 of them. I mean, if you stop them one time,
right, you got a shot. You got a shot, right. You stop them twice, you may cover the bet.
That's right. Or if Nick Saban gets bored or a little conservative, maybe he loses interest in the fourth quarter and then you hang out.
You saw that a little bit in the Ohio State game last Saturday, too. Ohio State went up 28-0 on 9 plays. And I'm like, oh, my God, this game is going to be, oh, my God. And then they ended up just sitting down for almost the rest of the game. Which I don't want to tell Nick what to do, but I kind of like New Mexico State right now at 55.5. Nick, if you don't mind, relax. All right, can you explain before we let you go, Frank? All right, so Bet Chicago, we know, is an information site at the moment. I mean, eventually, that will change when the laws here change and everything. When we can actually start to have digital betting here in the state of Illinois. But you're going to have digital betting in the state of Indiana, right?
A funny thing happened while we were waiting for Illinois to get the sports betting rules and regulations set up. We got an opportunity in Indiana. And although both states passed their bills at the same exact time, Indiana took their first bet yesterday. And Illinois has scheduled a meeting for the end of the month to start talking about possible options for the rules. So we jumped on an opportunity in Indiana. We're still pending approval by the Indiana Gaming Commission. We are going to be a mobile-only product, and we're going to launch towards the end of September the Bet Indiana brand. So we'll be a full-service sports book. You'll have to be inside the state lines of Indiana to play.
Because your computer will know, your phone will know, your tablet will know where you are.
That's right. So go buy fireworks, gas up the car in Indiana, and then download Bet Indiana and put a couple bets in.
Yep. All right. You can download it anywhere. You just have to be there to use it, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Well, very, very much fun. Frank, thanks very much for helping us. Appreciate it. I don't think we got anywhere.
It's going to be a good season. I'm excited about tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole thing is it's just fun to have football back, and it's just it's like there's two times of the year. There's football season and not football season. And even though the weather is crappier in football season, it's certainly, it gives me something to live for,
Helps you get through it all.
There's only so much time I can spend on a golf course or a beach. All right. Thank you very much, Frank. Frank Ignatius from, it's going to be Bet Indiana or BetChicago.com. Just keep an eye on this space. We'll let you know where to go. All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. There we go. I don't know, 55 and a half. New Mexico State.
There was some a hoopy. Was it Maryland won 70-0 last weekend? It's another game. Another team scored 79 points. So I don't know. Go for it, Ro. Let me know how it goes.
I'll be back.
Let's just focus on tonight, right now.
I know.
Bears-Packers
game. I'm drawing
game,
a blank.
Guys?
New Mexico State. Like I give a crap right
like,
now.
Not even,
who the hell cares about New Mexico State right now?
Space
the
in
Bears
my
and
brain.
Packers about to kick off the NFL's 100th season.
All right,
at Soldier Field, about 100 yards from where we
throw
sit.
Football from here.
All right, I know.
We have 219, one of our Indiana listeners, driving to Soldier Field right now. Parking lot packed with tailgaters and the smells coming off the grills. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Go Bears.
Mm. I need another meatball.
Mm-hmm.
Hold me over.
Mm.
Go Bears.
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 You see, now, and this is like some, this is like heavy afternoon drinking.
Yeah.
This is not, like morning drink, like the morning tailgate for a noon kickoff, which the Bears only have like two noon kickoffs this whole season.
Is that because they're expected to be good? They don't put them at noon, they move them later.
Yeah.
So they had nothing but noon kickoffs, right? In the John Fox era. They basically, there was a moment where Fox was like, CBS, you take them.
Right. It's like one primetime game a year.
And CBS was, you know what? WCIU, you take them. So
now everybody's fighting for them. That's a good sign.
So that is a good sign. But what is interesting is that the tailgating and the time of the start time, the kickoff time, changes the mood in the stadium significantly.
Classic alcohol.
Yeah, classic. Right, yeah, exactly. Classic late kickoff. Look out! People have been drinking all day. All right, let's talk to Kim, find out what's going on in the news at the top of the hour.
Ro, lots of trash talking in Grant Park before tonight's big game. We'll tell you how the Bears and Packers fans are getting along coming up.
Bears.
Bears. Come on. Come on.
Bears.
Bears. Bears.
All right, here we go. Our old friend Bob Iveck is with us. Used to be with the Chicago Cubs. You heard of them? They were, they're good. They were, very, very popular at one time.
Heard of them.
Mm-hmm. And Bob always, when we come into, big sporting moments, Bob always has something. He always has something that is a commemorative. And since it's an all Bears experience right here on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis today, Bob, what do you have for us?
Hey, Ro and Anna, nice to be with you. I understand that you're all decked out in all your great beer Bears gear today.
And beer,
huh?
Too. And yes. Beer too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Both.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, we've got something. I'm working with the Bears Care charity on this as well. What we're doing is these limited edition footballs. We're only going to make 2019 of these Rawlings footballs to commemorate the Bears' 100th anniversary season, with a good portion going to the Bears Care charity, which is, gosh, they've raised over $19 million since 2005, since they started. And in a moment, I'll give out a toll-free number and a website. How the folks listening in today get charged up. You want to get one of these because there's only 2019 made. I checked in. We're about halfway sold out. We just started selling them just earlier this morning. What you'll get for $99, you'll get a football, all kind of embossed information on the ball, and you'll get a certificate of authenticity, which is numbered. And on three of the panels we have set up, the first panel has stadium history and championship history, as well as the 100th anniversary logo for the Bears right on there. The second panel has a really cool logo, the Monsters of the Midway, the Super Bowl logo from 1985 when the Bears won, and two other Bears logos. And then that third panel has a beautiful color panoramic photograph of Soldier Field. It was taken in a helicopter last year in a sun-drenched afternoon, so it really pops out. It goes from one side of the panel to the other. So again, only 2019 of these will ever be sold for $99 a piece, and these, everything is fully licensed. If you'd like to get these to help out Bears Care, the charity, you can call a toll-free number, 1-800-345-2868. Again, that's 1-800-345-2868. And Rowan, Anna, we've got a really cool website. You can go there, see the football, and order it online, because I know the phone lines will be lit up. They've been lit up all day long. It's nicosports.com, and you spell it NIKCOsports.com, or 1-800-345-2868. And I do want to just thank everybody on your staff over the years. And just the last 5 years, we've raised over $2.5 million for charity locally. And I know we've done a lot of things with your staff at WGN there, with the Cubs and some other things with the Bears and the Blackhawks. So a big shout out to all the great listeners who've helped support and get a lot of cool things done for charities locally.
Very all right, cool. Bob, thanks so much. Really
thanks,
appreciate
Bob.
It, sir.
All right, have a good night. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Bears. Bears. Bears. Kim Gordon, Packers fan. We'll have the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Con Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Bears.
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 As my mom likes to say, beers. She kind of combines them.
It's funny because when she says like Chicago Bears, she's like Chicago beers. If she's talking about beer, sounds like bear.
Bears.
I don't know why.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Now I'm going to get yelled at for making fun of her on the radio.
It is a classic inversion situation that you're dealing with right there. Classic inversion.
My mom calls Rakan, as she's saying, Roquan Smith. How's Rakan doing? It's Rokan, not Roquan.
What does she call Roquan?
Probably Rokan.
Yeah.
We tried to get him to do that when he came to town. Remember, Ron?
Yes.
We tried to convince him.
He didn't really go for it.
No.
No, it didn't really work out. All right, here we go. This is important stuff. There is, yes. There is important stuff. Hold on. Hold on.
It's that time of day. We know what happens.
Yeah, technical. Happens every day this
every
time
day.
Of day. I don't
just
know why.
About.
What goes on?
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five,
Drew Brees, the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, says he's not anti-LGBTQ, despite working with an organization that opposes LGBTQ marriage and adoption.
Right.
He recently appeared in a video to promote Bring Your Bible to School Day, which was part of a campaign by a group called Focus on the Family.
Hey guys, Drew Brees here. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith, not by sight. So I want to encourage you to live out your faith on Bring Your Bible to School Day and share God's love with friends. You're not alone.
That's 2 Corinthians. I remember what that was.
Sounds, you know, harmless, right? He's just saying, if you want to, bring your Bible to school. What's wrong with that?
People in the LGBTQ community were furious that Brees would argue or agree with to work with a Focus on the Family agency in any capacity, considering the group's position on homosexuality. So today, he responded.
I was not aware of any of the things they said about them lobbying for, you know, anti-gay, any type of messaging or inequality or any type of hate type related stuff. I was not aware of that at all. The video itself was just focused on National Bring Your Bible to School Day. It was not promoting any group, certainly not promoting any group that is associated with that type of behavior. Because I know that there, unfortunately, there are Christian organizations out there that are involved in that kind of thing. And to me, that is totally against what being a Christian is all about.
Mm-hmm. I give him a pass on this because I'm not sure he knew the whole history of the founder, who said some pretty out there things about using violence against transgender people. I mean, he's the founder of this organization is kind of out there. But did Drew Brees know the whole history of it? It doesn't sound like he did.
Being a Christian is love, it's forgiveness, it's respecting all, it's accepting all. It's everything that I said in the video that hopefully you guys saw and everybody else will. So what's a shame is that people will make headlines just to get hits, just to get views, and all of a sudden these rumors spread that are completely untrue. So shame on them.
Leave him alone. Literally the class of the NFL. You've never heard a single negative thing about Drew Brees.
Right.
A ton of community work. He's beloved down in New Orleans.
Yes.
And a great guy.
And what he, what that institution did for the city of New Orleans in the rebuild following Katrina.
Unbelievable.
And what he specifically did is above and beyond and not heralded. He lives by that word. And that is completely appropriate. Right. If a guy wants to live by his religious faith like that, and he wants to spread what he considers to be the good news, and then he does that. That's okay. It's not like he's standing up for, you know, like hating on people. That's the point he's making. This isn't about hate. This is about love.
People are trying to make him own everything that the founder of that organization has stood for, and I don't think that's fair.
Right. All right.
So. We give you a pass, Travis.
Everybody got to be furious about everything around here. We got Bears.
We got Bears Packers to worry about.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be furious about. Kevin and I just got into a fight in the hallway.
Because Roe's projecting his nervousness on me. He's like, look, Kevin's nervous too. Oh my God, Kevin's nervous. Everybody's nervous. I'm not the only one nervous. See? Other people are nervous just like me. I'm not nervous.
That is exactly how it went, actually.
I can't imagine.
It's not Kevin making fun of me. That's actually how it sounded. That was a perfect replay. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Oh, Marianne Williamson has responded to criticism of her recent tweet about praying for those in the way of Hurricane Dorian. Mm-hmm. In a since-deleted tweet posted on Wednesday, Williamson wrote, "The Bahamas, Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas." She lives out of Alabama. Why would she do that?
She lives in Alabama.
She left out Alabama.
Yeah,
sorry.
Gotcha.
She said to all those people, "May all be in our prayers now. Millions of us seeing Dorian turn away from land is not a wacky idea. It is a creative use of the power of the mind. 2 minutes of prayer, visualization, meditation for those in the way of the storm." What?
Dude.
I mean, fine. Have faith. But that is not how you save yourself from an oncoming hurricane. Because the hurricane's going to do what it's going to do.
Can you imagine her just like standing in front of this incoming hurricane? Like, okay, use the mind and like going all Professor X at the hurricane. Sorry, that's an X-Men reference, by the way.
The
Thanks for letting us know, because I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I knew someone was not going to know.
I had an idea.
Someone.
I didn't.
You mean all of us. Oh, all right, now, so hold on, hold on, hold on. During an appearance on America This Week, what the hell's America This Week with Eric Bolling? Remember him?
From Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had second thoughts on deleting the tweet.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think I should have taken it down. I took it down because all the trolls started, all the stuff started, and I had this momentary just get rid of it, although getting rid of it is ridiculous because when you're a political candidate or any person in the public eye and you delete a tweet, it actually brings more attention. I said the most traditional thing in the world. Well, you know, anytime there's a tragedy, we say my thoughts and prayers are with you. How about my thoughts and prayers are with you while you're going through the tragedy? And so what could be more traditional than to talk about praying? This is not bizarre.
No.
It was morphed into, and I didn't see the actual tweet, but like the Washington Post headline said, she said you could use the power of mind to change Hurricane Dorian's course. Was that what she was saying?
I just like every wackadoodle has come up with their own theory on what they can do to get the hurricane to go away. You had the nuclear weapon idea. You had the guy, see the YouTube of the guy who said, if you just put ice in the water, that'll make it cold and then the hurricane will dissipate. Mm-hmm. Now you got Marianne Williamson, think it away. See what's going on there? How about there are just some things that we are not in control of and we have to accept that. And then we have to work around it.
Isn't that what she's long-term saying? Goals like climate change, you know, fixing that problem.
Here we go. Talk Bears Packers? I don't give a crap about Marianne Williamson today.
Number three.
Go Bears.
I'm sorry. I don't care about anything right now except Bears Packers.
I know. He's mad. He's mad. Even me mentioning that he might be nervous. I'm not nervous. I like beer.
I like beer.
In the words of Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he's number three.
He called
the rivalry matchup a fitting game for the first of the year.
I think it's pretty fitting, you know, considering it's the oldest rivalry in the game. We've played each other, you know, so many times, 190 something times over the course of our histories.
All right, shut up. That's it. Hold on.
Let him keep talking. Come on.
Hear him and his little thin voice telling me about things. Yeah, another thing.
Is he still sporting that big stash? The Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in a recent picture of him? Okay. I did not like that.
He grew it in for the Canadian trip.
I like the stash on a Bears fan. I don't like it on Aaron Rodgers.
I will agree with you on that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Look at this. See?
Glad everybody's in
it.
See, you know Packers what? Fans and Bears fans unite on one thing.
Kumbaya.
Number two.
The superfans joined WGN Morning News this morning to perform a new song in honor of the NFL opening of their 100th season. Blah, blah, blah. We know about all of this, right? And the song, similar to all the rest, superfans profess their undying love for the Bears. It may sound familiar.
Every Sunday, well, I know I'm going to be sitting in my favorite chair.
I'll be decked out in my Walter Payton jersey and my lucky blue and orange underwear.
And the Packers and the Lions and the Bites, when they play us, they ain't got a frickin' prayer.
I'm excited, cause they're gonna win the Super Bowl in the centennial season for the Bears.
The Bears will play 100 years, they say we'll play 1,000 more. When the end of the game is done, the Bears will have the highest score.
Oh my God. That's beautiful. Oh man.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to get to number one because you're not going to believe number one. We're giving it all the runway it needs here because it's really something when you hear it. So stay tuned for that. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A Chicago food pantry goes high tech. We'll explain coming up.
This week on Chicago's Best, the team is celebrating its 300th episode with special guests Rick Bayless, Graham Elliott, Miguel Cervantes, and Stephanie Izard. It's Chicago's Best 300th episode with the special chef guests Sunday night at 10, WGN-TV.
Congratulations to them. All right, here we go. Finally in the top five.
Number one.
Okay. So an Ohio man decided it was a good idea to call police and complain with profanities that the police has stolen his weed.
Oh, gosh. I can see where this is going.
Now, Ohio is not a recreational state, so they don't. It would be illegal. So the Sharonville Police Department decided, you know, for all the other young stoners out there, maybe this should be an example of what not to do. So they put it up on their Facebook page.
Sharonville Police, this is Cindy.
Hi, I need to do a complaint about two Sharonville cops. They stole my weed last night.
Okay, let me have you talk to a supervisor.
All right.
Hold on just a moment.
Hello? Hi, is this a sheriff?
This is Sergeant Mark Duddleson with the Sharonville Police. How can I help you?
All right, my name's Bill. I had two cops come here last night and steal my weed, and I want it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure they're happy to oblige. Right.
The complaint department is open.
What address are you talking about?
Yeah, I was staying at a hotel last night at the time. My wife had some problem. They had to call them. And my wife had my weed in their purse, and the motherfucking cops took it. It was only like 4 grams, but it was really good weed. It was only like 4 grams, but it was like, you know, prestige weed. And the motherfucking took it. And from what I know, 100 grams is cool, right? Or am I wrong?
You are wrong.
I'm wrong.
Oh, gee. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's no. That's a deflating moment right there. Like, oh. I'm wrong.
Or am I wrong is a question you do not want to ever ask the police.
Right.
Or am I wrong?
Or maybe I'm wrong on
Wait,
that.
Am I breaking the law right now?
What do you mean by that? Do you think it's cool? Where did you get that information
What are you
from?
Talking about? 100 grams is legal. Am I wrong?
No, it's not.
What county is this?
This isn't Hamilton County.
Hamilton County, 100 grams is legal.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not. I'm just here to tell you that it's not.
What do you mean it's not, dude? Where you been the past 2 months? 2 months ago, it got passed 100 grams. You guys don't take it. No f***ing ticket. I know I'm right here, dude. Don't try to talk to me like I'm dumb.
Oh, God. That's the way you should always talk with an officer if you want good results. It's just classic.
If you'd like to come down and file a complaint against these officers, you can do it in person.
No, bullshit. I want my weed back. It was only 4 grams, and it happened at like 2:30 last night. Did those motherfuckers turn in any weed? Did they say any weed? I guarantee you, they put it right in their pockets.
Okay, well,
I'll take this as far as you want to go. If you think you're going to fuck me around with this bullshit, dude, you're fucking wrong. I'm just going to go over your head. Oh, I want my motherfucking weed back.
Okay.
All right. This is why the guy should be on weed. If I were them, I would give him the weed back.
He needs it.
Sounds dangerous when he's not on his Grandma Kush or whatever.
They didn't turn it in, did they? Did any cops turn in any weed last night around 2:33 a.m.? I guarantee you they didn't. They stole my weed. It was only 4 grams. And I'm allowed to have up to 100 grams. I know the law. I know my rights.
Okay.
You know, and if you're not going to help me out, I'm going to go over your head.
Can you stop talking for a second? Okay.
What?
So now it's 200, huh? Okay.
What hotel were you at?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Some hotel in Sharonville.
Good answer.
But I woke up in the morning. I asked my wife where my motherfucking weed was, and she said the fucking cops came and took it. It was okay. Only 4 grams, but it was good weed.
Motherfuckers
stole it.
So the police officers took it from your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my wife said to them, she said to them, no, 100 grams is legal. And they said, ugh, and they kind of laughed, you know, tell it to the judge kind of bullshit.
I hope this is a happy ending.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Hey, I'm not trying to get all this information out, man. I just
Why
want
not?
My feedback.
You called me. You are complaining
I know how it's all working. Man. I feel like you're just trying to trap me right now. And I'm not falling into that game, man. All I want is my motherfucking weed back.
I mean,
so did he get his weed back?
I don't know. Let's find out.
You know, can you at least answer me a question? Did them two cops that were in Sharonville last night,
Matthew.
Did they turn in any weed?
What's your wife's name?
Marilyn Manson is my wife's name.
Okay.
But anyway, back to my point and why I called you for your help.
Yeah.
Did any Sharonville cops turn in any weed last night?
How do you think it's possible that you call me and be completely unreasonable, and then I can't have a conversation with you and you
Sir,
expect any kind
I'm
of result?
I'm not trying to be unreasonable to you.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Answer me the simple question.
What's your wife's
name? Did any Sharonville cops turn in any weed last night? They didn't. They took my weed and they stuck it in their pocket.
Okay. And finally?
Okay, what's your wife's name?
My wife said it was some young guy and some bald fat that came here and took it. They didn't give me no ticket. If it's illegal, they said they would tell it to the judge kind of bullshit. Where's my weed ticket then, if it's not legal? They took my but anyway, I can tell this is a losing situation. I just want you to look into it. Last night, 2:30, there were two cops here that stole my weed. And that's it. You have a good evening, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
So it was a happy ending.
I feel bad for that guy. Apparently it was really good weed.
Yeah.
He was part right. Cincinnati passed some kind of legislation that decriminalized up to 100 grams. But outside of Cincinnati...
That's an ordinance in Cincinnati.
You're out of luck.
Yeah.
Classic mix up with the law.
Yeah, not in Sharonville.
Not in Sharonville.
No. You know what? This is not the rules in Sharonville. Oh, my God.
That is
but by the end of the thing, I kind of do feel like the cop stole the weed.
I know. You convinced me.
You're on his side?
I kind of come with him on
Sounds
that.
Sounds like this was a robbery.
Right. Yeah, it really does. It was like, where is his ticket? That's a good point. I mean, where is his ticket? I mean, that's good. Don't worry about it.
A lot of question marks with this story.
Yeah. Maybe it was, super great weed.
Still not sure the jury really is on his side if this goes all the way to court.
It's a lose-lose.
I like this guy, though, representing himself in a court of law. That'd be a lot of fun.
Fun.
Screw Mike Monaco. We're using this guy.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by AppleChevy.com.
The history is all around us. We feel it. Like a new emotion. 100 years of football. Of life. A rivalry that brings us all together. It's the beginning of the next 100. And our future has never been brighter.
I was made for this. Oh, man.
Anybody got a brick wall handy? Need to run through one right now. Give me all the brick walls.
I got a tear coming down my eye.
He said it perfectly, though, like a new feeling, a new emotion. It does feel that way, at least for me. I've never been this excited for a bear season in my life, not even during the Urlacher era. It just feels so much different.
Feels real.
Feels real, exactly.
High expectations for this season, for sure.
You feel like there is competency.
Mm-hmm.
Incompetency was a hallmark of our beloved Chicago Bears for many, 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 many years.
Inconsistency, too.
Yes. And you feel like you've got competent hands. The least competent guy, other than the kicker at the moment, the least competent guy, right, is the sort of the untestedness of Mitchell Trubisky, who is still a pretty great quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his numbers, I think it would be kind of surprising for a lot of people if you went back and actually looked at his stats from last year. I mean, he went to the Pro Bowl. I didn't realize he was an alternate, but he still got some recognition there. And remember, this is his second year with Matt Nagy. I know it's his third, but that matters. Being in a system for a second year, Matt Nagy talked about it in training camp where Nagy would start calling out a play, and halfway through the play call, Trubisky would say, okay, good, I know what play you're going to. They're kind of building that chemistry and they kept talking about bread and butter plays. What are the plays Mitch feels comfortable in? Which plays does he like? And I think we'll see that this year. I think we will see a jump. This doesn't feel like a flash in the pan type era for the Bears. It feels like something sustainable because you do have a core that's not going anywhere for a while. You're going to have to pay some of them. Mm-hmm. Players here and there are going to peel off from free agency or whatever might happen, but you have your core, and much of that does ride on the shoulders of Mitch Trubisky. What sort of strides can he make? That's probably the biggest question mark on this team outside of the kicker situation is how good can Mitch Trubisky be? Now, he doesn't need to be great. With this defense, you can win with an above average NFL starting quarterback. You can be I thought Mitch Trubisky played good enough last year for them to win, and that was his second year in the league, first year with Nagy. So you got to figure he's going to make some moves this year. And they've added more talent on offense. Allen Robinson is entering the league, not having to deal with an ACL rehab in the offseason. So he's got another year under his belt, his second year with this offense. You add David Montgomery, who we saw completely put a highlight reel together in like five plays in the preseason, and the Bears shut him down. They said, you're not getting hurt. Well, we're bubble wrapping you like the rest of our core guys, and we're going to unleash you week one.
Well, what is interesting is that more and more teams are doing that than used to. People used to use their guys in the preseason, at least, you know, they get a quarter in, and in some cases, right, game three, a whole half of a game just to get your starters in, and then they just stop doing that. It's not worth it. And there are still some franchises that continue, right? But not as many as there were last year. It seems like this is the new protocol, which, you know, one of the reasons that I think the conversation is being had at the highest levels at the NFL about reconfiguring all this, and they need to get the NFLPA, the Players Association, to come along with them on that. But I think they do need to make a change here. There is the one thing that, you know, when we talked to David Ignatius from Bet Chicago, Bet Indiana. Frank Ignatius. That's his brother I was just talking about. We were talking to Frank earlier. It's an important point is that we don't really know what we got here, right? I mean, this is like Christmas morning in a lot of ways. And I have a lot of memories of disappointed Christmas mornings from my childhood.
I don't get the present that I wanted. don't go there. It's not going to happen. We're going to be pleasantly surprised, aren't we? I mean, we're going to get to look at Matt Nagy's offense. It's been hidden in the preseason. We don't know what to expect, but it could be. I mean, it could be pretty good. Could be excellent.
Well, I'm looking forward to this season. I think, as Frank mentioned, I think the one thing that is real that you can't account into your win prediction, whatever you want to do, is the fact that it is a very difficult schedule. Now, you can talk about how fortunate they were in the injury department last year, but that's a factor you just can't put into play here. I mean, that's completely random for the most part. I mean, you have to give some credit to the team's, you know, medical staff and all of that and their training and all those sorts of things. And it always seems like the better teams get hurt less because they have better players. Better players are normally in the right position. They're not putting themselves in position to get hurt. So I think you can factor that in as well. I think there's also, you know, on top of the million things that have us amped about this season is that we haven't seen, as we were talking about, nobody playing in the preseason. It's been 242 days since that playoff game. So that's how long we've waited to see the Khalil Mack in action, the Akeem Hicks in action, the Tariq Cohens. We finally get to see them. It feels like the countdown to this game started the second after that Eagles game. We were all thinking to ourselves, God, what just happened? Also, God, how far away is the season opener? Because I think we all saw what happened last year. We saw how good they could be. That there was the immediate anticipation of, when does next season start?
Right. You just knew there were the factors there for greatness, and that's why it was so disappointing. That's exactly what. How much of a factor do you think it's going to be tonight? Because tonight really matters, right? In terms of momentum, it's the Packers, it's the kickoff, the national exposure, everything. I mean, do you think, though, that the fact that the Packers have a new coach, they're testing a new offense, is that going to be make them a little bit, you know, not as great as they may be later in the season?
I think it would be very, very deflating for the city and the fans if the Bears lost this game. But look, think of how they lost week one. We all go back to the Eagles game, but man, think of the feeling we all had the Monday after that week one loss to the Packers. What did the Bears end up doing? They went 12-4 and won the division. So it feels like we want them to win, obviously, but I just
they
don't
went 12-3.
12-3 the rest of the way, 12-4 for the season. They won 12 of the last 15 games.
Right.
So as much as it does, it's certainly not a must win in my book. I know we talked about this yesterday, but like, because the way they lost in week one last year, they bounced back from it. They learned from it. I think it's a little bit different last year because they were nobody expected what they did last year. I don't think anybody expected a 12-4 year. So I think they could kind of brush that off and say, and they would just say, well, we're learning from it. Now it's okay. This is year two. We're expecting.
Are they still learning?
I mean, that's my point. Right? So I think that's why it would be a little bit more. Be deflating, you know, but I don't think it would mean gloom and doom the rest of the year or anything like that.
Well, Ro, what do you think? Gloom and doom?
I think it means they're going to go 8-8 if they lose this game. I I think this actually is one of the easier teams on their schedule. That's the problem. And if I'm the Packers, I look at this totally differently, right? First year coach.
They have no pressure.
None.
How much could we have said that about the Packers Bears, where all the pressure's on the Chicago Bears?
Right.
The past few years, be like, maybe they'll pull one out of the you know what and win this game.
That's what was so amazing about last year at Lambeau, was that
you couldn't believe what you were seeing.
Right. You're like, oh my God, they could win this game, which that was not anticipated. And then it turns out that team really was that good.
Right.
Right. And that, and they did lay down. And as Ed Obradovich pointed out to us, he blamed a lot of what happened in the second half of the Bears being not as conditioned as they need to be, because they didn't have real game condition kind of experience with their starters. I don't know if I 100% agree.
How much
with
game
that,
condition
but,
would you get even if you played two series? You know, I don't know. I see his point. I thought
he's in the building and he'll chase us down the hallway. So please do not.
I love Reed. I can't wait to hear him. To me, it's just how big of a bummer would it be right now if one of their core players was out because they turned that ankle in week two of the preseason?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's okay if you're Aaron Rodgers, you just come back from the dead and win the game. So.
Oh my gosh. Didn't he?
Get it.
I mean, I'm haunted by that moment seeing his face come back out. I'm like, what? He was down.
Yeah.
He was out.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. And in the stadium at Lambeau, everybody's like, oh, because they're all on their phones, all the Packers fans. And they were like, oh, my God, it's the ACL. He's out for the season. And there was moaning and bemoaning and all this horrible stuff. And then he came out. When he came out of the tunnel, he initially came out on a cart, got off the cart. And it was like, you know, like a religious experience at Lambeau. He gets off the cart and runs to the sideline. Oh. And you're like, what is
where
he?
Did he come
and,
from?
And like all the Bears fans, right? And we're kind of huddled into. They put us in a ghetto. They put us in a Bears ghetto at Lambeau, and we're all looking at each other. First of all, thinking we were going to get killed at halftime, but secondly, looking at each other and thinking, hey, wait a second. They're faking this. This is a guy. They have a body double for Aaron Rodgers. And then he's running out there, and this is just to confuse Matt Nagy in his first official game as a head coach. That's what's going on.
Certainly felt like it.
Yeah.
But by the way, on the ticket front, because I know that's been a big conversation this week, but I'm looking at the Bears' schedule on the ESPN schedule page here, and they always have a link to tickets. It's computer-generated. Next to the Bears-Packers, it says tickets as low as $473. Like in 3 weeks against Washington, it says tickets as low as $42. So, yeah, a low, low price of $473, you can get into Soldier tonight.
Well, it's interesting now. What will be fascinating is to watch that number go down over the next hour.
Yeah. I'm interested.
Be the only time it goes down, because over the last 24 to 48 hours,
it's done nothing but go up.
I know. I know people have been stalking them, hoping they'd go down.
That 400 and what did you say? 400 what?
473
was 308 yesterday.
Right.
That would be the cheapest ticket available.
283 the day before when we were talking about it.
So it's just been rising and rising.
This is someone drinking in the tailgating who's kind of been like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to drop $400 or $500. Maybe I'll just come out in the tailgate and watch in the parking lot. I'll just keep an eye on things. Forget it. I'm doing it. $400. I'm
but
in.
There's also the opposite at the tailgate. Guys are having so much fun at the tailgate.
They say,
they're like,
throw them up there.
I'm going to throw them up there, and I'm going to get $2,000 right now. Right, and then we're going to stay here, make our and have a vacation out of it.
That's big money. I mean, I know you want to be there, but that's hard to turn down.
It's the problem with cable television and HDTV or whatever the hell
it's so damn enjoyable to watch.
You just can't. Right, first of all, it is, but it's hard to just turn the TV on in the parking lot because where's the antenna go? But where's the cable?
But this is different. Being at
I think if you have a ticket and you're in the shadows of Soldier Field within walking distance, that's a tough ticket to give up just a couple hours before.
Painful.
If it's a freezing cold game out there, a meaningless game.
I still love that, though. I do. I just love being inside that bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really do. All right. Let's...
Bears.
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 Lauren.
Oh, sorry. Bears.
Bears. This is like when your comic people all put their fists together and yell something, and it's like...
Wanted twin power, activate.
Yeah, whatever that means. It's like that. So we all go Bears.
Bears. Bears. I see OB is out. He's out there. He's looking for... He just mouthed the words, where's Kevin? I just saw him mouth the words. So Kevin, duck under your desk.
I had a good run.
Yeah. All right. We will be back in just a moment. But first, let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the news at the top of the hour.
More stores telling customers to leave your gun at home. We'll tell you what stores are making that request coming up.
That's right.
We'll have a fall football deck party.
I think we should.
Hopefully Club Dub arrives at Soldier Field tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, Matt Nagy walking into Soldier Field today. A tip of the cap to Papa Bear. He's wearing the old school fedora.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I thought he was dressed as Vince Lombardi.
Okay.
Now get out of here,
news
Kim.
That matters with Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio comes your way in 2 minutes. And then it's Hamp. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, except there's no Hamp. There's just, it's me with OB and Kaz. And Carm, and it's and I'm going to hide under the desk. Stay tuned.
Perfect.
For that.